Remember, remember the 5th of November, the gunpowder, treason, and plot. I know of no reason why the gunpowder treason should ever be forgot.
Everyone's asleep.
We live in the shadow of crime, resigned to be the victims of fear, of violence, of social impotence.
You step outside, you risk your life. You take a drink of water, you risk your life. And nowadays you breathe, and you risk your life.
The dollar buys a nickel's worth. Banks are going bust. Shopkeepers keep a gun under the counter. Punks are running wild in the street, and there's nobody anywhere who seems to know what to do, and there's no end to it.
That is why we distance ourselves. That's why we make jokes. We don't do it because it's fun. We do it so we can get by. And sometimes because it's fun.
Your levity is good. It relieves tension and the fear of death.
Ladies and gentlemen, fellow slaves of the plantation, welcome to the Vinny Eastwood Show. It's Vinny with a Y because it's the most important question. And Eastwood, like, go ahead, make my news. It's the lighter side of genocide. Just because we're being exterminated doesn't mean we can't make it fun. Otherwise, what's the point of being killed? The Vinny Eastwood Show. The only thing worse than the truth is Vinny's jokes.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to yet another exciting episode full of all that gluten intolerant Vinny Eastwood goodness I know you have been craving. Might be bad for your thighs, but it's just too good to turn down. Now, ladies and gentlemen, the Vinny Eastwood Show has got a little bit of an announcement to make here. I've been hired by the Aotearoa Legalized Cannabis Party to do some of the social media for them, in addition to doing the show over the next few weeks, ending in late September for the New Zealand 2017 election, because the cannabis issue is quite an important one. Do I believe in the political process? Do I think people's vote counts? Do I think that mass media manipulative marketing is indeed capable of being punched through in order to get the truth out to people? Yes, I do to a degree, you know, but victory is not the reason why you do something that is right. You do it because it is right. And it does not need further justification, ladies and gentlemen. So go to thevinnyeastwoodshow.com and donate today. If you donate a few dollars a month or even a dollar a month, we will give you early access to pre-recorded shows and other little goodies, as well as the little donors group that we've got there on Facebook, full of very, very cool people just like yourself. My very special guest joining me today, sorry for that prolonged announcement, ladies and gentlemen, is Jeffrey Jackson, not the Reverend Jeffrey Jackson. Jeffrey, welcome to the program.
Hey, Vinny. Honor to be here.
Well, could you tell us a little bit about yourself and what it is you do?
Well, I guess I would just be called a citizen journalist. I was tired of seeing... I was tired of being lied to by the media, and I was tired of seeing stories that needed to be spotlighted go unspotlighted. So I started a blog about 5 years ago, and shortly after that came a man named William Thompson, who was better known as the CDC whistleblower. And I, along with a couple other people, grabbed onto that story, and I've been holding on to that narrative ever since and trying to keep it from being a limited hangout like most media would cover. In fact, most of the media here didn't even cover it, the mainstream media. So so I expanded into other health issues, checking out Monsanto and the cancer industrial complex and all these. There's just so much when you start going down the medical route of mainstream medicine, how they're used to control people. So I've just been working to expose that in my own way, in my own lane.
Sounds very comforting. Now, speaking of which, The thing that's happening, I found a lot recently, and we talked about how the mainstream media didn't cover the William Thompson whistleblower trial, and just recently the New Zealand media has been going hand over fist. I actually haven't actually seen anything quite like it, attempting to demonise the vaxxed movie, which is touring around, and indeed one of the vaxxed filmmakers was banned from even coming into Australia. Right, so we've got this
New Zealand and
suppression.
You guys done lost your mind out there. I don't know what's going on. I actually was forwarded by some contacts the document from the Australia's government that was kicking out. Her name's Polly Tommy. She's part of the Vax team, and they kicked her out because she was promoting, and this is in the document, quote, an anti-vaccination film. Which it's not. Anybody that would see the film, it's not anti-vaccination. And I don't, you know, I don't have a dog in that game. I don't, I'm not part of the Vax team. But the document said they were scared that the information she was spreading would break up and disturb the good order of Australia and its citizens. So
it might have had something to do with them recently passing a law making vaccination for children who want to attend school mandatory. Otherwise, you don't get your benefits from the government. And it might have something to do with the wife of the Prime Minister of Australia working for a vaccine manufacturer.
Oh, stop the presses.
Just
really?
Just taking a stab in the dark, you know. Nobody saw it coming. Except
it's the first I heard of something like that. Usually these people that work for the vaccine industry and those government representatives that are passing these laws are usually on the up and up. So I can't believe this is happening.
Yeah, my Australian counterparts call their new Prime Minister Malcolm Turdball for the amount of shit that comes out of his mouth. It has a snowballing turd-like effect. All right, like more turd gets picked up as the turd gradually rolls down the hill and then covers everybody beneath it and shit.
Well, what surprises me, besides that comment, is there's no independent analysis except, you know, the small amount of what we want to call them independent media that's doing stuff like we're doing. But there's no independent analysis. We can't crack the safe and effective. Vaccines have been safe and effective for 50 years, according to them. And It's bizarre. Of course, it's not a surprise, but it's bizarre. There's no independent analysis.
Well, it behooves people to, I think, act in their own best interests. Now, I'm stupid. I don't act in my own best interests. I act for the truth, which is usually the exact opposite. Because if you tell the truth in this society, the amount of opportunities that come your way generally start shrinking and eventually disappear. So I'm very concerned about that, about my future, etc. But I'm even more concerned about the entire human race getting enslaved and subsequently exterminated. More concerned than I am about perhaps my economic situation.
Correct. I came to that same conclusion. Also, that's one of the reasons I started doing what I was doing, is I started looking at the history and what was coming and the bills that were in the works. And I said, I don't have a choice because this is all going to change real fast. And I would like to be the person that said, at least I tried. But, you know, behind this wall is my yacht and my Ferrari. So it has been paying me really well. That's a joke for anybody listening.
Now, the people who have moral obligation, they're the ones who actually go out and try to help other people. But they find out very quickly soon after that if they try to help other people, not only do people not appreciate their help and not want to be helped and that kind of thing, but they aren't willing to lend you a hand so that you can help people even more, a lot of it. The universe doesn't care what your moral obligation says, and neither do other people. You have to care, and you have to dedicate your life to it, otherwise it goes nowhere. And this personal empowerment concept is something you've actually been really sinking your teeth into lately, correct?
Yeah. It has to come from within, and that is interesting because when I started doing this, I thought, well, I'm just going to write some blogs, and you know, I actually naively thought when that information came out, I thought, well, there goes the vaccine narrative, that'll be done, and I can get back to my life. 2 and a half years ago. So it is a lifelong endeavor. I mean, if someone snapped their fingers tomorrow and this all went away and, you know, there was a utopia and whatever, I'd still be looking for the next story and I'd still be looking for truth. And, you know, one of the major things for me is I don't like to see good people get taken advantage of by not good people. And I guess that's me trying to control a situation, but I have that empathy and it hurts to see that. It hurts to see kids get hurt. It hurts to see that stuff. And it's hard for me. It was hard for me and it still is to go about and go watch a football game or go have some drinks with the friends when this stuff's happening. You know, I was thinking about it and I was up all night and I thought the information has to just be put out there and people have to make their own decisions. But it's up to me. I feel like an obligation, like you said, a moral obligation deep within me to put that information out. But I shy away from any leadership roles. I don't want to be a leader. I don't want to be put out there that much. I want my information to speak for me as opposed to, you know, the persona or something, some fake thing that people create.
Yeah. And sometimes when your head's so full of these things going to bed, you find it very difficult to sleep. You toss from one side to the other and you go, that's wrong. No. And that's how a normal person is. Psychopath, on the other hand, will fall asleep the second their head hit the pillow. Oh, I killed 6 children today. You know, that's it. That's how it is. You know, oh, I raped my own daughter today. You know, they got no compunction. And like everybody goes, but how can these people sleep at night? It's because they don't have a conscience to keep them awake.
Yeah, it's I always call it humanity's biggest secret. It's humanity's biggest blind spot. A lot of people don't understand this. And it's in my early life, I've had a lot of interactions with these people and have been vampired off of and taken advantage of. And the one thing I realized is they have no creativity. They have no creativity. They can take other people's creativity really well, and they're experts at spinning that for their own needs, their own selfish needs. I always looked at Hollywood as a perfect example of a psychopathic system. So you have this empty shell of grotesque, you know, Hollywood underworld and, you know, creepy stuff going on there. And it brings in the best creativity and actors and actresses and writers, and it siphons these people in to make these stories, and then it spits them out. And this system revolves around taking people's creativity and spinning it for its own needs to perpetuate quote unquote Hollywood. So when I see an individual, like an individual psychopath, I look at that as like also the institutions work the same way.
And that's probably because psychopaths not only created those institutions, but they are currently running them. Where there's smoke, there's fire. Or weed. Now, this psychopathic system, as you were talking about, we can have a look at every single institution that has any influence in society and apply the psychopathic subset. These are their behavioral patterns. This is what they do. Can we compare all the industries that have power, medicine, media, law, entertainment, politics, religion, you know, these kind of things, and then have a look at the systems that govern those particular institutions and run it against the psychopath test, and they will all score very, very highly.
Yeah, you bet your ass you can. I've noticed, in fact, the media has. So when these systems get found out, for instance, like for me, I've been pretty deep in the vaccine fraud. I mean, this thing goes so deep. People are really starting to wake up to this globally. And I'm noticing the countries, number one on my list of watching is Ireland. Ireland is woken up to this like an alarm clock. And for them, it's the HPV vaccine. It's hurting these girls. And the girls are able to talk and say, I was fine. So I got that shot. Now I'm bedridden, all this horrible stuff. And the media there, how did it respond? It actually responded by blaming the victim. So it's the parents' fault. It's the daughter's fault for doing this. You're hurting the vaccine industry. And the media's headlines are ridiculous. They actually call parents emotional terrorists for trying to spread the word that these vaccines might be dangerous. It's kind of laughable when you can see them operate out in the open. That's one of the most sobering things is if you can spot a psychopath or a psychopathic system and watch it operate as if it still thinks it's undercover, it's really watching. It's like watching an alien or something. It's bizarre.
Well, when you can see it, it is. But it's been shown in brain scans that when normal human beings lie, certain indicators come off on the brain, certain heat flashes and things like that, because the person knows and their synapse communicate with each other, telling them that it's a lie, and it sends a whole bunch of other hormones and signals coming through the brain stem to affect the body, to affect the body temperature, to affect the way the eyes move, to lurch the head around in different directions, these physical signs of lying, which are well documented. Psychopaths have very few of those. And in brain scans, it's shown to have virtually zero activity when the psychopath lies, and if they've even been known to pass lie detector tests. The shorthand for this is that they're so crazy that they actually believe their own lies, and their body believes it too. Now, in sales, the first thing you're told to do, most of all, is to smile and have confidence. If you smile and have confidence while you tell complete and utter BS, the vast majority of people won't see through you unless they have an awareness of psychopathic behavior. Psychopathic behavior is much easier to detect than lying is, I've found, in a lot of cases.
Yeah, yeah. The cold read is something that I think is important for people to understand. Psychopaths have, when they were born, they slowly, as they interacted with their world, realized that certain things they can do, certain things they can't. So it's almost like a computer system. It's like zeros and ones. So if they say something to somebody and the person reacts and goes, don't ever say that to me again, they go store it in their zero and one computer and say, okay, don't say that to a human being because persons with empathy don't like that. So they're continuously cold reading their victims, who is everyone, because they are paranoid, because they think everyone else is a psychopath. So when I talk to people, I've helped some people, you know, because I've had my own experiences. I've helped some people get out of relationships with psychopaths or work. The best thing you can do if you find yourself engaging with one of these people is to disengage uneventfully, because they're masters at manipulating emotions. So they need to whip your emotions up. They can manipulate those. So if you try to confront them and you're angry, that's playing right into them because they can play you like a fiddle.
Yeah, and they need that. It's what's called narcissistic supply, which translates into English attention. Okay, and this is the thing that I really, really get pissed off about the medical profession and psychopathic professions in general. They create an entirely different language by which they can communicate so that other people don't frickin' understand them. I've had to learn the psychopathic language of medicine and media and politics and all of that kind of stuff only so that I can deconstruct it down to its base roots, be able to comprehend it comprehensively, and be able to relay that to other people, to give them a working understanding of the system which we fight. And in my opinion, the vast majority of the people in the alternative community media have no idea what they're up against. No idea.
Correct. Correct. One of the things that I notice quite quickly is attaching oneself to a group. That person quickly can lose their voice to the group's voice. So it's important to have, you know, I'm not saying don't ever join a group, but if you have a strong voice or strong opinions, loosely, you know, tie yourself to that group. I've done my best to stay completely independent. And it's because of that, because in groups, especially as these groups gain power, these issues come to the forefront, like vaccination, like GMO food, psychopaths will be attracted to that power structure. It's a big energy bubble for them to vampire off of. So no matter what the person laboring within that group believes or is doing, it will be co-opted. That's just the nature of reality we live in. And so I warn everybody not to jump in with both feet to a group that you don't understand, because you can quickly lose your voice and years of your life.
That's right. And it's cult indoctrination is a big part of this. And you'll notice that a lot of these institutions that are run by psychopaths use very similar methodologies that the US government discovered in mind control techniques through MKUltra, and very similar techniques developed by cult leaders for cult indoctrination purposes. So the thing to watch out there when you were mentioning groups and your voice and your opinion, two cult indoctrination techniques jumped right out at me is ostracizing independent thought by henpecking anybody who expresses them and making other people accept a claim of truth so that the group's truth is the only truth. And that, in effect, what this means is if you're in a group, ladies and gentlemen, and you don't feel comfortable with expressing your full opinion, you feel you have to censor yourself or something like that, you're not in an honest group. Okay? If you do express an honest opinion and you get chastised to it aggressively, you're not in an honest group.
I've noticed in the alternative media, and that's just kind of a catch-all term. There's a lot of different terms, new media, whatever, not corporate media is basically what I'm talking about. I've noticed there's a lot of recycling of other people's information, especially now that it's it's more lucrative now, I think, because people are in droves going away from corporate media looking for alternatives. How do you think the alternative media is going to last? What does it need? I ask you this because, you know, you're one of the first people I saw talk about sociopaths and psychopaths, and it was really refreshing. And it was actually something I began to learn more from as I listened to you. I'm curious, you, with that knowledge and being in the alternative media, I would be curious where you think this is going to go and how if it can, will it live? Can it live?
9 out of 10 talk radio show hosts are probably narcissists. I'm a narcissist. I'm slightly different because I'm what's known as a self-aware narcissist, which means I'm a narcissist who knows he's a narcissist. I'm somebody who has evil intentions and doesn't fulfill them because I know intellectually that they're evil. I want to hurt people. I want to lie to people. I want to steal. I want to react badly. I want to abuse. I want to manipulate. The reason that I don't is because I know, and I've been taught through very, very severe consequences throughout my life, that I will not have a happy life if I continue to do that. If, however, I only speak what I know to be honest, not what I know to be true, because truth's sometimes very difficult to figure out. You know, there's truth all the way over here, lies all the way over here, and beneath them is a gargantuan chasm of possibility filled with the three favorite words of the English language. I don't know, you know, because I think ultimately self-analysis, okay, is absolutely important, particularly if you're going to be communicating with people on a mass scale, because you are infecting people every, ladies and gentlemen, every moment that I open my mouth and say something to you, the words are instantly getting lodged in your brain in some small way, shape or form, and you cannot avoid that. Okay, the brain doesn't have any firewalls. It automatically takes things on board and then criticizes them and analyzes them and that kind of thing, but you can't stop them from getting in. So if I am going to be sending something your way, I better make sure that it's actually good for you and doesn't actually net me power over you and doesn't force you to abandon your reason, and more specifically, does not make you trust me implicitly. If you trust me implicitly, even though I'm an honest guy, eventually that implicit trust will not be your ally. It will be the thing that enslaves you to people who have narcissistic tendencies like me. And this is why I feel a moral obligation to warn people and explain this to them, because not only will it help them to have healthy relationships with people like me, which means almost everybody who's in charge of a company, almost everybody who's a talk radio show host, most of the people who are doctors, lawyers, and all of the people in these institutions and everything like that, why do you think they got so good at it? Why do you think I've gotten so big at what I'm doing? Because sitting there and being content is not something a narcissist is capable of doing. They don't feel full in their heart, in their soul. They need to have external accomplishment and attention in order to feel like they're not dying. Okay? That is why I try to talk to people all the time, because if I'm left alone, I feel completely alone.
Well, the age of information has sprouted these technological systems where, I know you and I are talking and this is relaxed, but there's a high, you know, inherently there's a high responsibility because we are talking to who knows how many people throughout time. How many people are going to listen to this in 10 years? Hopefully more than one or two, but it's important. And sometimes, I don't know if you've had these moments. Sometimes I have these moments where I realize, whoa, it's a lot of people just read my article and kind of freaked me out for a second. But what you said was really powerful about knowing that you are a narcissist. And there's a guy named Jordan Peterson, and he's a professor in Toronto, I believe. And that's a whole separate story, but I was listening to one of his lectures, and he said, one of the highest forms of humanity is to know you are capable of it becoming a monster, and to know you're a monster inside, but to not act out being that monster, as opposed to someone who lives a sheltered life and doesn't think there's bad in the world, but to actually understand and to understand that it's within you, it's within all humans and all humanity, and to choose the other road. Powerful stuff.
I was talking to another narcissist who's a friend of mine. He still hasn't accepted what he is yet. I mean, it's clear as day to me. It's like bing, bing, bing. Every second or third thing he says is a narcissistic behavioral pattern, you know. And the thing I said to him is something I realized, I think, when I was maybe in my second year doing talk radio, like maybe in 2011, 2012 or something like that. If you think of yourself as the good guy, there'll be nothing to stop you becoming the bad guy. If you know that you are the bad guy, you will stop yourself from becoming him.
The system, like Facebook and Twitter and all these kind of Pavlovian feedback loop systems, I believe they're creating kind of narcissist lights. So not a true narcissist, but they're creating people that may not be narcissists, but it teaches them to crave attention in a negative way. So they actually develop narcissistic traits. It's very interesting to watch. It's like a large social experiment.
Yeah, Paul Joseph Watson brought that up, and he called it unrequited narcissism. And I thought, what an interesting term. Like, you've ever seen, ladies and gentlemen, two folks on a film or something like that. They really love each other, but there's something in their way or whatever. And at the end of the film, they still don't get together. That's unrequited love. What Facebook is doing now is giving you unrequited narcissism. All the angst of narcissism, but none of the benefits.
Yeah. Now, Paul Joseph Watson, rest in peace, because YouTube killed him, and all the rest of the stuff that he was doing along with a lot of alternative people are just axed. I mean, this has been an interesting week particularly.
Yeah, and that's why I think the future of the alternative media will be the James Corbett model rather than the InfoWars model. The InfoWars model does do the advertising. It does do the revenue. It does the glitz and the glamour, the high production values, the daily streams and that kind of thing. It's unrelenting. The Corbett model, on the other hand, is a peer-to-peer economy, so people are directly contributing with their money and allowing no stress, no time limits, and things of that nature, which is the way mainstream news does it, and that's why they constantly report incomplete information and constantly repeat it, because they don't have any more information. And the Corbett Report model is the exact opposite of that. You wait until all the information comes out, and then you actually explain the whole story from frontwards to backwards.
You know, I believe it 100% what you're saying. I completely concur. One of the things I've noticed is people are getting, you know, so there a lot of people are going away from mainstream media. Now, mainstream media has, the way they speak to their audiences has a cadence of it's just fake. It's fake. No one talks like that in real life. And on top of that, they abuse their audience. Let's just be straight with this. They abuse them. They gaslight them. It's psychological abuse through media, through the news. I think there's so many podcasters coming online. There's so many people doing this stuff and talking like normal people, like you and I talk to each other. I think that a big part of the shift is going to be people are going to be tired of being talked to like children, and they're going to want to hear, like James Corbett, like Richie Allen, he's out of UK, just news delivered by normal people talking to you like you're like someone you'd want to go drink, have a beer with or something, or grab a coffee with, instead of a person that is trying to be infallible and is robotic in their movements and you know, narcissistic, malignant narcissistic or psychopathic. I think that's dead. I really do. It's dying. It's definitely dying.
Oh, I think it's when a creature is dying, that is when it is most dangerous.
Mm.
All right, so things are going to get worse before they get better. Much, much worse.
Yes.
I see the alternative media turning on itself, eating itself, stealing each other's audience. I see them using dirty politics. I see them using divide and conquer tactics. I see them becoming the new world order. I see them being pushed as a front to replace the mainstream media, much like a political party will push itself as a front to replace the other political party just so that the same agenda can continue without anybody noticing that they've been conned.
There's a power vacuum that the corporate media is leaving and going to be leaving, and it's a large power vacuum. So I agree with you 100%. It'll be interesting to see where it goes. I think that the peer-to-peer, person-to-person media economy is going to be, like you said, where it's at. I think it's also going to be powered by, probably to some extent, by the blockchain, by cryptocurrency payments, by the blockchain, so it can be uncensorable, so it can no longer be taken off. Like YouTube can't just ghost someone's account, or Twitter can't just, you know, take off a important message. I think there's going to be stuff that will be forever up there, hopefully, as long as the internet's going.
Well, one can only hope. Because as we do know, that there are plans to censor the internet writ large, being reported everywhere. And I looked through my monetized videos just recently and found that nearly half of my monetized videos have been demonetized without my knowledge.
Me too.
So now that's fortunately not too big of a problem for me, because I never started doing it for the money. I never started doing it for the advertising. I never put clickbait that is only like two minutes long or 5 minutes long or 10 minutes long just to get people's clicks and give them a quick rap or anything. Everything that I do is catered for people who are intelligent, have a long attention span, and can listen without judgment. So about 0.5% of the population. Now, I think that still 100 million people, 100 million of the most intelligent, the coolest, and the least judgmental people on Earth. Now, if I was able to have an audience exclusively of only them, and I didn't have to put up with these annoying YouTube comments, the foolish, assumptive Facebook comments and things of that nature, I would live an extra 10 years, you know?
Do you answer those?
I answer them with only a few words. Block! And the scum is gone.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I do the same thing. A while back, I received an email, and it was on a video I did. I did this like motivational, I had this wild hair, you know, to do this motivational YouTube video. And someone gave me this like horrible email, and I thought, okay, I'm going to write back to this person. I spent 2 hours crafting this email. I'm going to get this guy or girl or whatever. And it was a sunny day out. I wasted this beautiful afternoon, and I hit send, and it came back to me. It was the wrong email address they gave me. It didn't accept emails. So basically that was the universe telling me all that negative energy you sent out just came back to you. So I took that as a sign as I'm never going to argue with anybody online again. Screw them. Foolish. My block hand is strong. Yeah, my block hand is strong. And they might be robots. The AI technology is not in the public awareness. I'm watching people that are supposedly doctors, working doctors. I can look them up. I can look where they work. They're 9-to-5 doctors. They're doing 1,000 tweets a day arguing with parents. I think this is next generation AI. I really do. I don't feel like naming them right now, but
I want to actually add in something here, because I'm not telling the strict truth when I say my only response is block and the scum is gone, because there's another element here that people need to be looking into when they're looking at YouTube arguments, Facebook arguments, is that you're not the only one participating in that conversation. You're not the only one reading it. Okay. Now, how a psychopath would operate that situation is appear very calm and very cool and very collected and kind of like just sit there and give you passive aggressive ridicule to get you really angsty and that kind of thing in order to show everybody just what a ridiculous bunch of people you anti-vaxxers are. reverse engineer it. What you do is you be the cool, calm and collected one. And you sit there while these psychopathic narcissists are abusing you and you say, look, ladies and gentlemen, this is a straw man logical fallacy by making up an argument that doesn't exist so that they can debunk it with an argument that doesn't have any relevance. These people are lying scumbags. What do I mean by scumbaggery? Well, psychopathy, more or less. And these are the aspects of the psychopath. This is why psychopaths, sadists and narcissists are predominant on comments sections, because they are trying to get narcissistic supply and attention from you. It doesn't matter to the narcissistic psychopath whether you give them negative attention or positive attention, just as long as they're getting attention, because their mummy, who is upstairs while they're in their basement, is not giving them enough, apparently.
One of the things I noticed in the vaccine community, or I should say vaccine truth community, is there's a lot of these people arguing. So in doing my journalism, I've spoken to and I continue to speak to many, many parents that have had vaccine injured children, and they've watched it was from the vaccine. And that's what gave me the confidence to know there's something here that's not being reported. It's the same stinking story all over the world. So these mothers and fathers and families turn into warriors that will never shut up. They will never shut up. These are people in a grocery store line saying, oh, I see you're pregnant. Oh, by the way, my child was vaccine injury. Don't do this. Don't do this. So these people will go online. They'll spend the time arguing. I don't see anybody that's excited to get their flu booster shot every month going online 18 hours a day to spread the word about pro-vaccine. Like, normal people don't do that. That's why I believe this is – it's a complete lie. I think these are operatives. These are hired people. No one has that strong of an opinion of getting a flu shot, for God's sake. My opinion.
Oh, sorry about that, ladies and gentlemen. I had my mic on mute. Well, I was thinking
I
about
can read
that,
lips, cause so we're good.
Once you go, mate, what we're doing here is we're having an argument instead of a discussion. Okay, so with reasonable people who are simply wrong, you can frame the debate. Okay, you can use tactics that can frame their debate, that can minimize conjecture, and that can deliberately deliver irrefutable facts. Now, the way that you do this isn't to give them the facts. It's actually to ask them questions. Questions to which you already know the answer. So that when they attempt to answer it, they're thinking about it. And then, when they can't come up with an answer, you give it to them. And all of a sudden, you become not only the person that provoked their thought, but somebody who gave them the answer.
But it's important for people to have their BS meters turned on, because there's a lot of BS out there. And this goes back to what we were talking about earlier with the leadership, the leaders, the people that will lead them to whatever they think they're going to lead them to and save them. You know, as we talked about, it's going to get real nasty in the alternative media, kind of already has. It's going to get real nasty in society. My God, I'm in America. So that's all I have to say right now. If anybody watched the headlines, good Lord, there's a lot going on here.
Yeah. Well, I always love the irony of a broadcasting corporation who broadcast nothing but BS, have a logo of an eye, and call themselves CBS. You can't make this stuff up, folks. Like, I'm convinced, and you mentioned the word gaslighting there, and a lot of people don't even know what that is. They think it's something to do with your farts at a party with a lighter, but it's actually a psychological technique that you use against people. So, ladies and gentlemen, let's say I'm a nasty Nazi scumbag, and I'm trying to lie to you so that I can take your freedoms off you by making you afraid of somebody else. And I'm up against a rival candidate who knows exactly what I am and exactly what I'm doing. What's the first thing I say to the audience? That guy's a Nazi! He's going to try and make you afraid of other people in order to take your freedoms off you. And then what happens to the person who just got accused by the Nazi of doing that guy? He goes nuts and he starts acting like a Nazi! Brilliant! That's gaslighting, folks. So when the media goes, oh, these anti-vaxxers have got no science, it's because they've got no science. Oh, these anti-vaxxers are in it for the money, it's because they're in it for the money.
These anti-vaxxers are emotional terrorists in Ireland, it's because they're emotional terrorists.
Well,
physical
terrorists too. Economic terrorists, medical terrorists. I mean, it's but their terrorism is the good terror. You know, it's sort of a diet terror, you know, kind of like terror light. Sort of, I can't believe it's not terror.
It's different when it comes from them. It's roses and unicorns, clearly.
Yeah, because obviously, this is how the psychopathic mindset works, ladies and gentlemen. They don't take personal responsibility for anything that they do. And when I say anything that they do, I mean anything that they do. Just never taken responsibility for anything ever in their entire lifespan, okay? Lifespan's this long. That's how long they've been a scumbag, okay? Always will be until they're dead, which preferably would happen sooner rather than later, but because they take care of themselves and work out and generally look better than the rest of us, they also survive longer than the rest of us too, so that they can continue to control society and screw it, fake it, you know, just...
I wonder if they have less stress than us. I can't think like them because I'm not one of them, but I would imagine, I don't know, they're always paranoid, so that has to be pretty stressful because they think everyone's trying to out-psychopath them, but they don't have the caring that we do about most things. They don't have empathy. So I wonder what that's like.
Well, if you've got money to pay people to be your cronies, to constantly talk you up, constantly make you feel better about yourself, never question your decisions, and so on and so forth, you'll be surprised that the illusion of happiness for a psychopathic mindset who does not know what real happiness is indeed real happiness, because it's constant. And low-level psychopaths and sociopaths, on the other hand, they have big trouble because they need a steady supply of victims, which they can't pay to put up with their bullshit.
I think on a long enough timeline, and I've seen this play out, talked to some people that have had these people in their lives, and they've seen it play out as well. On a long enough timeline, when they are disconnected from their supply, they kill themselves because they have to face what they are. And I really believe, I don't have any science to support this, but I really believe they're lacking some type of internal spark. Call it humanity, call it whatever you want to call it, but they have to seek that out from other people and take that from them, you know, kind of like the vampire situation. But I think they lack that. And when they're cut off from that, I don't think they can survive very long. Well, so it'd be interesting because I'm... Yeah, there you go.
All right. So my favorite factoid on this one in terms of the power of faith is POW statistics from U.S. soldiers and prisoners of war in Vietnam. All right. Mm-hmm. In a Vietnamese prison of war camp, in a war that's been going on for nearly 10 years, you have no idea when the war's going to end. You've got no hope of frickin' rescue. You're alone. You're hopeless, right? And they found that the people who were atheists died. The people who were like devout Christians, on the other hand, overwhelmingly survived. Because when they were trapped alone with no hope, they weren't alone and they had hope. All right. It's the denial of reality that faith and belief gives you that can be an immense power source. Now, I found that statistic is also works with people of different faiths, which leads me to believe that it's not the kind of faith that you follow. It's not the kind of belief that you have. It's how strongly you have it.
Yeah, belief in a higher source.
Or even belief
strong
in
belief.
Power in yourself. I can survive this. Mm-hmm. You know? Mm-hmm. But often yourself is not enough because we get put into situations we are traumatized by and have absolutely no control over. And one of the symptoms of that in complex post-traumatic stress disorder terms is learned helplessness. Mm-hmm. And ironically, a lot of people with complex PTSD, because of their learned helplessness, but their still overwhelming desire to help, become trauma and grief counselors and mediators and things of that nature, because their trauma tells them that they can't help themselves, but they have discovered that they can help others.
I 100% agree. I'd argue that living in society, this modern society, is mildly traumatic for everybody. So I think everyone's in a mild state of trauma from the get-go. You know, that doesn't even account for the birth process. I know there's a lot of people talking about that, circumcision, all that kind of physical trauma that actually happens to rewire the brain at that level. But my God, I mean, there's so many levels of trauma that we're going through. So we can be easily manipulated, unfortunately. But it seems like the psychopathic systems are becoming more transparent, and they're acting, at least from what I see, they're acting out in the open more now, as opposed to before we'd have to shout from the rooftops and go, look, trust me, if you read this book in this chapter, it's a secret book, but you can find it online at this website. Now it's almost common knowledge that, yeah, this person's corrupt. Yeah, this person's taking money from Big Pharma or whatever. So we can watch them operate out in the open now. I think that's really powerful for people, because it gives normal people the empowerment to go, oh my God, I see it. It's ridiculous.
Well, it's one thing to see a car running somebody over. It's another thing to be a doctor and a mechanic seeing that car running somebody over, because you know all the moving parts, you know all the damage that gets done, you know how all of those things came to be and what the consequences of those things are. Because while, ladies and gentlemen, we may agree that the government is corrupt, we don't know how corrupt. We don't know how it got there to a large degree, and we don't know specifically on a day-to-day basis how it operates. If we do, however, have a vast mechanical knowledge of the beast, the machine, the robots that are really controlling society, we can find appropriate places to stick the monkey wrench in.
Mm-hmm. That's why I think it's important for everybody to really welcome with semi-open arms and caution, but welcome people from the system. For instance, doctors, nurses, these are brilliant people that, you know, I would like to think a lot of them went into that because they wanted to help people. I'm sure a lot of people went in there to get the Ferrari and the yacht and the pool and the money, the paycheck. But when these people with the brilliant minds wake up and see what's going on, they become unstoppable leaders in these movements that become people that can educate, and they can't be argued with because they have the knowledge. And a lot of times they have more knowledge than some of these people that they prop up against them, which is fascinating. But there's a woman, Dr. Suzanne Humphreys, was just in Wellington in New Zealand giving a talk on herd immunity. And this woman, if anybody's out there, look at some videos of Dr. Suzanne Humphreys. Good luck getting anything past her. If you're on the other side, the pro-pharma, the pro-vax side, no one will ever have a public debate with her, because she'll drive them into the ground with facts.
Yeah, it was like that with Dr. Paul Connett of the Fluoride Action Movement.
Yes.
It was quite funny. It took him 11 years, and somebody finally decided to debate him on live TV. And it was a slaughterhouse, even though both the pro-fluoride guy and the host were on the same side, right? Just decimating. And these kind of things, because a lot of the people who've been indoctrinated into doctors and being PhDs and things like that, they have a very residual and specific trauma from the system. Once they realize that system does traumatize them, because often we're traumatized without our knowledge, and once you realize that you are traumatized, that's when you get spurred into action. That's when your trauma no longer renders you inert and a slave of the system that can't break free. It renders you into a scattered star that shoots in all directions. You no longer care about what society thinks, because you know that society isn't thinking.
The trauma comes in the form of friends, of a trusted system. It's like the vampire who knocks on your door. You have to let it in, but it's not going to look like trauma. It's not going to show up at your door wearing a trauma t-shirt. So the people stuck in the systems that are being traumatized or being abused by media, when they empower themselves, when they see this, I have tons of empathy for them, because it's a depressing moment. I actually went through a depression years ago when I found out that. I thought, this can't be, you know, these are friends of mine. These are trusted people. This is a girl I dated. My God. And it's a traumatic thing, and it's like society is collectively uncovering this and going through this like collective depression state of going, oh my God, the media just lied to us this time. It's really, and some people don't want to see it, and that's okay. No, we don't all have to.
Well, we can't all see it at the same time. We all have to be woken up to it in our own way. Neo didn't just wake up in the real world all of a sudden. He had a whole bunch of things happen to him. He got arrested. He had a really scary experience with the agents. And then these people started showing up and acting really weird and telling him to do all these really weird things. And he was kind of really unsure about himself. And he sort of wanted to get out of the car and go back down the street, you know, to what was familiar, but they told him, you know that road, you've been down it before, and you know exactly where it ends. Okay, it's only once somebody helps you to realize that you have lived this life before and that you already know where it's going that you can change the direction.
This symbology of the Matrix and the Neo character, I think it's important for people that know that movie. When he is disconnected from the system, I think they made him, he was feeble, and there's a shot of him on the table, and he has all these like wounds from being attached to the system, and he can't even sit up, and they're trying to feed him. He's very weak. And that's the energetically, spiritually, that's what happens when you first disconnect and wake up. A lot of people's whole world comes crashing down around them, and it's a sobering feeling, and you do feel weak, but that's the beginning of empowerment. And once empowerment happens, unstoppable. I mean, it's the sky's the limit. You know, Gandhi's the limit. Martin Luther King's the limit. It can't be stopped once you connect to that language.
Unless, like Martin Luther King and Gandhi and most other, you know, great leaders, they get freaking assassinated. But that's a side
They're still
issue.
Talking today. Yeah, they're still, I would argue, they're more relevant today than they were back then. They can't stop the message.
Actually, that's an interesting point as well. There's an old saying, how do you expose a fascist? By making them act like it. Right. If you go straight into their teeth, balls to bones, go for the gusto, they might kill you. But in killing you, they make you a martyr. In being violent in front of everybody, they make themselves appear to be the enemy. But on the flip side of the coin, it also has a chilling effect and stops other people from standing up, which is the exact opposite for what they should do. And I think it was Tupac's father who taught me a very interesting lesson. I didn't talk to the guy, of course. I just heard a story about him. He was hiding in Harlem, working for the Black Panthers, right? And cops, Chicago PD. New York PD, outside his friend's house. You know, he'd been hiding there. And they're like, come out with your hands up, you know. And he goes, all right, I'm stripping down naked. And he tells his friend to get naked too. And he goes, why? Why is that? And he says, because if you go out there naked, they can't say you had a gun on there. All right. And so his friend goes, no, I'm not showing these people my wang. He goes out there in boxer shorts, bam, dead. You had a gun. Right. So Tupac's father comes out completely buck naked in the searchlights. 14 fucking pistols pointed at him. Didn't shoot him. Still alive. Knowing your enemy and giving them no target, that is an important piece of knowledge.
That's Jedi level.
And yeah. It only comes from when you understand the level of threat that you're up against, the level of scumbaggery that these people are willing to go to in order to sabotage and destroy you. Sometimes it's not paranoia if they really are after you.
Mm-hmm. Staying centered. There's a book, it's called Power vs. Force. I can't remember the author right now, but this author breaks down consciousness on a logarithmic scale of 1 to 1,000. And basically, a person that's at 1,000 will offset something like 1,000,000 people below them if their consciousness. So the author said it's only a few people in the world that have been there. Gandhi was one of them. Martin Luther King was close to 1,000. But it was interesting argument that they made, because when that person's consciousness reaches that level, they continue to offset the people that are the lowest consciousness in society. I don't know. It was a good point. It was a good book, at least. I would recommend it.
And I think the point to take away from this is, ladies and gentlemen, you're the one that has to achieve that kind of level of consciousness. If you're relying on a savior to come and save you, that means you're not improving, you're not changing, you're not actually making a difference to yourself or to those around you. And that is not no way to live. That is a way to be a slave. That is a way to die with regret. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you very much for listening to the show. Jeffrey Jackson has been my guest. Go to thevinnyeastwoodshow.com and American Freedom Radio, and please, I hope you consider giving us $1 a month, $5 a week, anything that you can spare that's within your means. If you have $50 or $100 right now, we can always, always use it. And every one of you donates exactly when we do need it. And that's the interesting thing. Whenever your heart and whenever your mind tells you, I'm going to give these guys some money, you do. And we appreciate it. See you again sometime, folks.
Institution.
American Freedom Radio.
Since the beginning, civilizations have risen and fallen. Rome, ancient Persia, Mongolia, Britain, and now America. Befallen by natural disasters, broken families, moral decay, lack of preparedness, and conflict. Don't let this happen to you. Are you prepared? Would you like to help others prepare? AmericanSurvivalWholesale.com is looking for distributors. Email bugoutamerica@usa.com. Go to AmericanSurvivalWholesale.com. A veteran-owned and operated company. But do it today.
Quality, value, style, service, selection, convenience, economy, savings, performance, experience, hospitality, low rates, friendly service, name brands, easy terms, affordable prices, money-back guarantee, free installation. Free admission, free appraisal, free alterations, free delivery, free estimates, free home trial, and free parking. No cash, no problem, no kidding. No fuss, no muss, no risk, no obligation, no red tape, no down payment, no entry fee, no hidden charges, no purchase necessary, no one will call on you, no payments or interest till September. But limited time only, though, so act now, order today, send no money, offer good while supplies last, two to a customer, each item sold separately, batteries not included, mileage may vary, all sales are final, allow 6 weeks for delivery, some items not available, some assembly required, some restrictions may apply. So come on in. Come on in. Thank you. Come on in. Thank you. So come on in. Come on in for a free demonstration and a free consultation with our friendly professional staff. Our experienced and knowledgeable sales representatives will help you make a selection that's just right for you and just right for your budget. And say, don't forget to pick up your free gift, a classic deluxe custom designer luxury prestige high quality premium select gourmet pocket pencil sharpener. Yours for the asking, no purchase necessary. It's our way of saying thank you. And if you act now, we'll include an extra added free complimentary bonus gift, a classic deluxe custom designer luxury prestige high quality premium select gourmet combination key ring magnifying glass and garden hose in a genuine imitation leather style carrying case with authentic vinyl trim. Yours for the asking, no purchase necessary. It's our way of saying thank you. Actually, it's our way of saying bend over just a little bit farther.
What has American Freedom Radio ever done for us?
Provide us for free education?
Well, that's obviously effective, but apart from reversing the dumbing down of America...
All the information they provide is free?
What about the free podium for broadcast activists to speak from, man?
Exploiting commonplace corruption?
They help vulnerable people who don't have a voice?
Bringing light to important information nobody else does. Or they never censor, hang up, or cut off their guests?
Well, that's no fun, is it?
Oh, they created a fantastic alternative media source during an era of bad, manipulative, and infiltrated mainstream and alternative media shows and scum.
Okay, well, apart from the free education, free information, free podium for broadcast activists to speak from, exposing commonplace corruption, helping vulnerable people without a voice, bringing light to important information nobody else does, and creating a fantastic commercial-free alternative media source in a sea of bad, manipulative mainstream and alternative media shills and scum, what has American Freedom Radio ever done for us?
Donate to American Freedom Radio today.
Launch sequence initiated.
We're now in the approach phase. Everything looking good.
Ready to turbo the all out.
Control is good.
Five.
Roger,
copy.
Prepare your mind to experience American Freedom Radio.
Remember, remember the 5th of November, the gunpowder, treason, and plot. I know of no reason why the gunpowder treason should ever be forgot.
Levity is good. It relieves tension and the fear of death.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to yet another exciting episode of the Vinnie Eastwood Show, brought to you by you, the donors and the listeners and all the various people who share around and contribute in some small way to this little operation of talking to people of all different kinds of persuasions and realms of thought and things of that nature, regardless of whether or not we agree with them, because journalism is about giving everybody a frickin' say so that everybody else can make up their frickin' mind. All right? That's the cult of Vinnie Eastwood, ladies and gentlemen. No leader, no doctrine, just don't be a dick. All right? Pretty straightforward. I would have thought so. Go to the VinnieEastwoodShow.com or AmericanFreedomRadio.com, who even gave me this platform, and start giving us a couple of bucks a month. You know, a couple of bucks a week even. I had a bunch of people sign up doing the new $2.50 a week payments through that PayPal, and another listener who's so generous, he started putting up $20 a week through that PayPal as well. And other people have got through the Kiwi Bank account that's on the homepage there. And I must say, ladies and gentlemen, I really, really appreciate all your help and support for keeping the show on the air. It's been nearly a decade, and every single time I have ever asked for help, you have been there for me. And that's because whenever the activists who get demonized in the media ask for help, I am always there for them. My very special guest joining me today is Aaron Franz, who originally called Paris Franz, but they thought that was too on the nose. Aaron, welcome to the program.
Thank you for having me here, Vinny.
That was a Batman the Killing Joke reference, by the way. If you haven't seen the film yet, it wasn't that good anyway.
Missed it.
Now, if you wouldn't mind telling us a little bit about who you are and what it is you do.
Sure. People will probably best know me from the video I made in 2008, The Age of Transitions. It's about transhumanism, eugenics, things like that. And since that time, I've just been a commentator, alt-media kind of guy.
So it wasn't about puberty. All right, keep continuing.
It could have been. You know what? I look up Age of Transitions on different search engines, and it comes up with like becoming elderly and all these like different things. So you definitely get things like that. But yeah, it was just a boring old thing about transhumanism, you know, just like everybody else is doing. So not too creative. I've written a book, Revolve, Man's Scientific Rise to Godhood. I did that a few years back. And yeah, I just do a podcast, Trans Resistor Radio, the podcast. So yeah, just a commentator, researcher, interested in the occult and things like that. Yeah.
Yeah. Just the, not working too hard at it, I can say. Just making sure you got all the professional gears there and talking about all those real scary topics that people really don't want to deal with the truth, all right? And this is the ultimate thing that I've found is that if you do want the truth, there must be something wrong with you. Even the people who claim to want the truth don't really want the truth. And they will find out after listening to my show, for example, after a few years or something like that, eventually I'll interview somebody or say something that they do not like, and ergo, the last 1,000 shows that they did enjoy and the last 1,000,000 things I said that they did like, out the window!
Yeah. Well, you know, you've got the truth movement. I guess it maybe this is debatable, but I'd say it peaked out around 2008, and it was a great thing. I mean, I was there. I was doing the 9/11 truth thing myself. I thought that was – I mean, that was a thing to do. It was really good. But since that time, I've become a little bit disenchanted with the movement as such. I'm not even sure if it still exists or not, but a lot of people out there just attaching the word truth to, you know, an ideology that they want to push.
Yep.
And that's not the way the truth works for me. It's not about ideologies. It's about pushing yourself further to different things you didn't think you would have accepted, you know, before under, you know, thinking within narrow parameters.
Yeah. And in fact, ladies and gentlemen, just a warning here. If anybody in, you know, the movement per se, alternative media or whatever, has the moniker or name truth in their title, watch the F out, okay? Because they're quite likely a frickin' lying psychopath who uses 90% of the truth to get you to think that they only tell truth so that they can sell you their 10% of lies that get you to abandon your reason and become one of their cult-like followers. Okay? Just thought I'd throw that out there.
Yeah, lots of traps out there. Lots of charlatans, sad to say. Like I said, I've been doing this for a while, so, you know, you see things. You know how it is, Vinny. I don't know, but it's good to be positive. I mean, the truth, I think, I mean, it's a thing that you can go after. And it's as a goal, I think seeking truth is a good goal to have. As long as you don't ever, you know, think you found it, you know, for good. Like, this is the truth. I have it. I wrote down the definition, and I'm going to put it in the dictionary under the word truth. And now we'll know what it is. Because it doesn't work that way. It's something you keep continually looking up. It's also something that, I mean, it depends on the situation. What's true in a certain situation could seem to contradict a different situation.
Well, it's coming down to this point where I'm no longer looking for truth from people per se. I'm looking for honesty. Now, honest people can be wrong, but they'll tell you that they gave you the wrong information and they will correct themselves. A liar and somebody who actually is really not in this for the right reasons, on the other hand, you'll notice not only do they never admit when they're wrong, they never apologize for anything. The closest thing they can come to that is, oh, I'm sorry you feel that way.
Yeah. Well, there were, you know, with the truth movement, getting back to that, there were a lot of goals that seemed to be, I mean, they just seemed one way to me in the start, and over the years, things have shifted. You know, talking about secret societies, for one thing, you've got people looking into the occult, secret societies, that sort of arcane subject matter, in a real sort of generic kind of way and not really caring about what the truth of that may be. They're just kind of maybe labeling Freemasonry as evil and like leaving it at that. And then 2 seconds later, leaving a Francis Bacon quote on your Facebook page or, you know, on social media, you're like, yeah, the Freemasons are evil and they're just terrible. But here's a Francis Bacon quote. I can really get into that. You know, the guy who's credited with creating modern day Freemasonry. I'm just going to quote him.
Well, not only modern day Freemasonry, he also created the modern day legal system, which in many countries is almost entirely and exclusively populated by Freemasons. to this day. Same with police. And in fact,
well, I'm not trying to be an apologist for Freemasons either.
I get exactly what you're saying, because you talk about my friend Mark. He's a low level third degree Blue Lodge Mason. He had no idea what's going on at the dark lodges and that kind of thing. And what was interesting was I had a conversation with a friend of mine, journalist from New Zealand, Ben Vidgen. And he said that Freemasonry in New Zealand works a little bit more interestingly than, say, it does overseas. Overseas, you've got different types of Masons. You know, most of them, 80%, they're just there to get away from their wives, have a few drinks with a couple of the old guys. Some of them are into numerology. You know, they're actually really interested in it. Some people are into geometry. Some are into history. But the others, they're into politics. All right, politics, which is specifically banned from the lodges, even under the lodges' own rules. And they go into politics nonetheless, not telling people that they have an oath to their society that they actually hold above all other oaths, including the oath that New Zealand prime ministers have to swear to the Queen and all her successors. Right. And I'm just thinking to myself, whoa, that's very freaking interesting, isn't it? You've got... Yeah. These secret lodges in New Zealand, not so much secret, but they are very exclusive. And when you look at the New Zealand political scene, you see the most powerful political representatives all coincidentally happening to be Freemasons, all coincidentally happening to belong to one of three lodges that have been identified as the top most powerful lodges in the country with the most exclusive membership. Now, to think that there's nothing suspect about that whatsoever is insanity. But to say that and then go carte blanche, all Masons are evil, they're all evil, devil worshipping. Look, if you worship the state, you're a Satanist, okay? You're just as liable for the culpability of the extermination and enslavement of the human race as anybody else by voting and not frickin' pointing out the flaws in the system. That is your fault, okay? Mm-hmm. People don't take responsibility for their actions, and they try to palm it off onto these shadowy cliques and things like that, when really, if you were doing something the 1,000 days between elections, you might have actually made a difference.
Yeah. I mean, there's so much opportunity out there for any sort of truth seekers, free thinkers, truth movement even, to do good stuff, I think, because a big problem, in my point of view, is that you've got just the mass of regular people super polarized now. You've got like a really extreme left wing, really extreme right wing, and that's almost become the norm. You know, it's like, oh, are you a left winger or are you a right winger? Because if you're the opposite of me, I'm about to have an intellectual fight with you. It's not even that intellectual either. It's just like this war of words that gets nowhere. So that's something I'd like to do something about. I don't know if I'll be able to, but I'm doing my best over here.
Well, I just made a video about this and for the first time ever, I actually kind of prefaced what I was going to say to people who really wouldn't understand it or want to hear it, you know, and it's just very simple. You know, if you start feeling hot under the collar, you feel a sudden rush of adrenaline, you feel the urge to yell at the screen or point fingers at me and say this is your political belief, blah 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 blah, without listening to the rest of the video, don't worry, it's perfectly natural, okay? It's called your fight or flight response, because what happens is it's there for a very good reason: to protect your beliefs and your ideologies and the things that you've built your identity and your life around. However, that fight or flight response can also prevent you from listening without judgment and learning things you don't already know that might be important.
Yeah, totally. There's a lot of silly quarrels out there. And I mean, the last U.S. presidential election was kind of like the culmination of that. It's like the right versus the left. And, you know, you had Hillary Clinton running, which was a terrible candidate. You had Trump, which is a terrible candidate as far as I'm concerned. And Trump ended up winning. I mean, it makes sense that he won. But you've still got some arguments left over from the presidential debate as things continue happening. You know, people are still attacking Hillary and all that. And I just don't see a point. I mean, she may be back later, you know, 4 years later or however much later to try to be president again. But until that time, I think there's other concerns that are more important at the moment, you know. So I don't know.
Yeah, well, United States being geo-engineered up to buggery, Army Corps of Engineers purposely flooding Americans' farmland and then stealing it off them, compulsorily acquired by the government, taxation's completely out of control, mandatory vaccination coming in, the media's completely corrupt, totally obviously, so is the alternative media. But hey, let's get hyped up about politics, shall we? You know, let's distract ourselves and cause ourselves extra stress and vice versa, extra illness by worrying about it and stressing about it and arguing with each other aggressively instead of having an open dialogue.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, yeah. There's a lot of space for that right now. There's a lot of opportunity for people to just take a step back and relax. I'd like to see that. I'd like to see the average person relax and not get so defensive of their particular belief system, be a bit more open-minded. I think if that started to happen, we'd actually, I think there's a real potential for good change to occur. And I want to believe that, that's truly possible and that something like that may begin to happen. I don't hold out hope that, you know, the masses of humanity are going to wake up and everything's just going to magically be different and better. But I do, you know, I remain optimistic nonetheless. I do think that things will get better.
I kind of adopt the exact opposite, you know, just a bitter, jaded cynicism. I find is a lot more rewarding, because then when people do stupid things, you're not only unsurprised, you're not upset either, because you knew it was going to happen.
Don't get me wrong, that I've got a cynic in me too, and I like to just, you know,
I like to let him out now and again. Go on, walkies.
No, it's funny to laugh at it too. I like to you know, make jokes about just the silliness of it all. And I mean, what else can you do? I know that that's your thing too, Vinny. So kudos on that one.
Yeah, it's it was a military kudos.
Well, I do have a shaved head after all. What do you expect?
You can't make this shit up, folks. Now, I've
been doing this too long. I lost all my hair. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
it's been like 10 years and the hair is gone. That's take it out of you.
Yeah, the stress of having ordinary slave scum come up to you and call you a conspiracy theorist, that's male pattern baldness for a start, ladies and gentlemen. You can't prevent that. I mean, come on.
There's no way out for me. I've accepted it. It's fine. It's part of who I am now. Crumb dumb.
Well, as my friend Jonathan Eisen says, don't worry about how bad things are in life, because nobody gets out alive anyway.
Exactly.
All right. Yeah. Now, in terms of this truth movement per se, and I've been trying to get away from this, and James Corbett gave me a slightly better term, which is the alt media, right? But the problem is that's been hijacked by this term fake news or alternative truth. Look, the truth, it doesn't care who you are. The truth doesn't care what you believe. The truth and the universe itself does not give a flying F about you whatsoever. And you better get used to that fact. All right? You got dreams? You got ideas, bro? Just go out there and frickin' do them. Because nobody else cares about your dreams and your ideas. Because everybody's got their own. And they think they're the most important. And guess what? Almost everybody is right about that. Their own ideas and what they do in their own life is actually the most important thing that they could ever be thinking or acting upon.
Exactly. Yeah. I couldn't agree more there, Vinny. And that's freedom, right? Allowing people to do what it is that they want to do and not interfering, just saying, yeah, that's okay. You know, I may not agree with it. It's not what I would do, but hey, I'm doing my own thing over here. And if everybody's able to do that without bothering each other too much, right? You're going to bother each other a little bit, who cares? But as long as you're not hurting each other,
it's an ideal situation. A study has just shown that hearing viewpoints you don't agree with doesn't cause any real harm.
I don't, boy, yeah, you go on Twitter, it doesn't seem that way, does it?
I mean, the perception of harm and harm itself are two different things, right? I constantly have people, what was this one guy? I'm a little bit narcissistic, right? So I Googled myself. And Google for short videos just to see if anybody had actually made any short videos of me. And naturally, 90% of them were my own ones. But there's one guy on there. He's like, Vinny, why are you talking bad about New Zealand? Why are you telling people that we've got pollution and a corrupt police force and a corrupt government? I mean, it's true, but it's hurting the country by doing... Really? Really? Not exposing the corruption in this country is hurting the country. You know, just name me a... Just point out that it's the individual who has actually really, really just hurt... Oh, Finney told me the truth about something I didn't know and want to ignore and would rather not know. Oh, that bastard! How dare he! It just sicks me, man. I mean, like... You never develop a thick skin for this job, and this is something I really understand that a lot of talk radio show hosts delude themselves. They think, oh, I could deal with abuse constantly. No, you freaking can't. All right, it affects you. Okay, it's a weapon. Yeah. All right, and your brain hasn't got any firewall against weapons that you read and things like that. And I'll give you an example of how your brain has no defenses against somebody else's ideas and the way that they affect you. Large, jiggling breasts. All right, all of a sudden, there they are, bouncing around in your head, and that you can't prevent it. Brain's got no firewall. So whenever you tell somebody something, they can't unhear it. Whenever you insult somebody, they can't not feel it. And I've seen so many people, bro, Aaron, just come and go in this movement for that exact reason. They thought they'd come in and that it'd all be about truth and peace and love and that kind of thing. And they realize that this war's been going on for eternity and they have to dedicate their entire existence and their forebears and their fortune to the fight if they want to even continue to participate in it. And for a lot of people, that is too much sacrifice.
Yeah. Yeah, totally. I mean, it's not what it appears to be on the outside. It's just like, oh yeah, again, it's about labeling something and then creating all these expectations. And then when you go to learn the truth of the situation, you reject that and be like, no, I want it to be the way I wanted it to be. What is this? You know, like, isn't it supposed to be the way that I want it to be? Like, no, it's not actually. You have to find a way to deal with it. I mean, if it's really important to you, find a way, you know what I mean? Like, with truth, it's, for me, I mean, if you're truth seeking, what is the goal? You know, is it about even getting the most attention or like getting your ideas even spread more than anybody else? Or is it at least collecting ideas from, you know, other sources, your own research, you know, from as far and wide as sources as you can get? And collecting them, aggregating them, and then coming to as good of an understanding as you can. And then if you have a media platform, that's great. You share that with people and, you know, let that be what it is. You can't do this. I mean, it's tough. It's hard if you expect more than that, really.
Yeah, my wife was getting frustrated yesterday because she was trying to help people and they weren't helping her back. And I told her, baby, that's not how the universe works. You help 10 people. And none of them will help you back, but they'll go on feeling better. And you've actually put 10 times as much positivity into the world. And what they do is they overflow that positivity onto other people in their life. They might help 10 people, and that goes around and around and around. And eventually you actually make society and the people that you help a better place. That is the actual reward. Now, occasionally, just occasionally, that positive energy that you send around comes back, but it won't come back to you in a, well, I've suddenly got millions of dollars, I don't need to worry about anything anymore. It's, huh, somebody just donated me enough to pay my rent this week. Somebody just gave me enough so that I don't have to starve this week. These little things that pop in on a daily basis that give you a message from the universe, and that message is, just keep doing what you're doing. Just keep going. You'll be all right. You'll be all right. Don't worry. You know, yeah. It whispers to you.
That's karma. And again, you can't come in with preconceived notions of karma. It's like, if I do this, then the exact same thing immediately comes back. As you just explained, that's not exactly how it works. But at the same time, it does work, right?
Well, karma is commonly misunderstood to be, if I do good, good things happen to me. Okay, now, all good people listening in the audience, raise your hand. Okay, now put your hands down. Let me ask you a question. Have you ever been screwed over by somebody who's a real evil scumbag before, even though you're a really good person and you've been good your entire freaking life? Oh, you have? Oh, how did that happen if karma was the way you think it works? It's because karma is not what you think it is. It's not positive energy flowing around and then flowing directly back. Okay, that's a debt. And that's a debt getting paid. That's how bankers do work in the universe. How it works is you send energy into the conversation. Another person sends energy into the conversation. You create more energy up in the middle of that conversation than either of you could create by yourself. And you then get to feed off of that extra energy. Okay? It is cause and effect. All right? If you do some training in kickboxing, for example, and then you go to the K1, you realize that all your training pays off. And that's actually what karma is, ladies and gentlemen, cause and effect.
You know what's interesting is that if you get back to that problem of the right-left debate and people just debating over everything now, just at each other's throats, you have karma out there as this religious concept. So somebody who might be non-religious, atheist, you know, they have to hate religion and all religious concepts because that's what you do. You hate the opposite thing that you believe. So you see karma, you're like, oh, that's one of those phony baloney religious things that doesn't work. Oh, that's stupid, blah, 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 blah. And then you've got the people that maybe are more spiritual, religious minded on the opposite side of the debate, and they'll just be like, it is true, and they'll be kind of airy-fairy, and like their definition of it won't be one that would ever convince the opposite side, let alone somebody that's just kind of in the middle maybe, or not like really dedicated one side or the other.
Well, in my opinion, any debate that the masses have with each other is by very definition masturbating.
Yeah, you know, I want to disagree with that, but I'm not.
So you're just having an intellectual toss, aren't you? I mean, that's what it is.
Oh, I need to get my jollies off today.
What? Are you feeding your narcissism and your psychopathy and your sadism today on YouTube and Facebook comment sections, are you?
Yes, absolutely, because that's the reason I left.
God. Everybody's got to be right. Everybody's got to be right. Everybody has to think they know it all. And this is one of the big problems with science in our day, too. I don't have a problem with science. It's a process of, you know, experimenting and learning from those experiments.
Copernicus again, like, had a problem with science when he realized that the Earth wasn't the center of the universe and the scientific and the scientific community tried to have him executed.
Well, yeah. Well, there you go. I mean, you just you run an experiment, you find something out. If you're getting persecuted, well, truth was never the objective for at least everybody else. For you, it may have been. And if anybody's using science in the name of truth, I mean, you gotta always bring in new information and not act like science is at some penultimate level where we know everything about anything, because we don't. We're so far away. We don't know jack, basically. Yeah. We barely know anything right now.
We were operating under majority beliefs, minority knowledge. So you know you need oxygen to survive, but you don't know that fluoride's bad for you. All right? You know that you need water to drink, but you don't know that chemtrails are real. You know that you don't – or let's say even on the other thing, if you're only slightly awakened, you know that fluoride's bad for you, but you don't know that there's a lot of fluoride in your green tea that you drink every day. And you don't know that it's got 20 times the amount of fluoride as regular tea. All right? These sort of things. I've seen so many people who, you know, you would think are awake in some way, but they fail to recognize that there's such a massive spectrum of deception that has been designed specifically to confuse everybody about everything, that 90% of the things that people who think they're truthful and honest and doing the right thing are actually just being played and playing themselves.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and society just generally speaking, as a whole, is trying to make a big push forward here with science again. Like, oh yeah, we've got this science and it explains everything. We've got everything in order here. That stupid old religion, we can just throw that out. Like, religion never had no meaning in that anyway. You're stupid if you believe it, right? And philosophy, well, this wouldn't even get on philosophy. Who needs that anyway? All we need is science. And we're just gonna, you know, build this perfect world. We're gonna build all these artificial intelligence systems. They're gonna take over. Those systems will eventually be self-learning and intelligent, where they'll just take over, and then they'll take care of us, and they'll upgrade us, and we'll become transhuman gods, and everything will just work out perfect. Yeah, no problem like, there.
And they don't realize that just having kids and raising them right will achieve the same perfect end.
Yeah, that's hard enough there. Just raising a kid, right? I mean, the average, you know, that's hard enough. You think we're going to turn into post-human gods? We have that capacity right now? I don't think so. I don't think we're ready for that.
Yeah, it reminds me of what Jeff Goldblum said on Jurassic Park, you know. Some of the science is the most awesome power that that man has ever created, but you wield it like a kid who's found his dad's gun.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right? And I think that's basically a microcosm for the majority of science right now. And I remember somebody was telling me on a YouTube comment session years ago. He goes, "This is the one truth. This is the one truth." And I was like, "That's interesting. I've heard that phrase, the one truth. It's a singular article, right? It's a definite article. It's absolutely true, right?" And so I go, "Let's see what else is claiming to be the one truth." So Google it. Guess what happened? A whole bunch of religious websites come up. Islam is the one truth. Christianity is the one truth. Seventh-day Adventist is the one truth. Buddhism is the one truth. Wanking over a chicken is the one truth. It doesn't matter. Everybody believes that their truth is the only frickin' truth, right? And the worst belief of all that I've encountered yet, other than satanic pedophile scum, is the... what was it? Solipsism. The belief that everything, this conversation we're having right here, ladies and gentlemen, all right, that's all in my mind. All right, I'm making it up. I'm that creative. I am the creator of all the frickin' universe, and this is just an illusion that I'm frickin' living. Okay? Now, first question I'm going to ask of those people, so you think your consciousness cancels out the other 7 billion? just first question, doesn't sound like an ironic and masterful cult ideology to me whatsoever, to rob people of their ability to discern facts from fiction so that they don't get manipulated and misled by scumbaggery mother effers, you know, just taking a stab in the dark. Might not be true.
It's funny. I mean, I think people would have a lot to gain when they see the similarities thing between them instead of differences. That sounds corny and cliche, and it is, but it's true. I mean, all those religions, I don't subscribe to any one of them individually, but I can at least recognize that, you know, there's truth in the religions. You know, of course, those sacred texts of all the religions speak about very deep and complex occult ideas, which are not incorrect. But it's all about, well, how do you interpret that? There's like a million different ways still. All of them are correct, actually.
How many million different ways is there to interpret the one truth?
Yeah, well, yeah, exactly. Well, it's infinite complexity out of ultimate simplicity, which is the ultimate truth. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's exactly what I believe as well, is that everything is a repeating pattern of everything else, and the further you zoom into anything, the more the pattern repeats itself infinitely. Mm-hmm. Right? Infinitely up the scale, infinitely down the scale, infinitely to the side. It's a universe-sized spider web of rabbit holes.
Yeah, people are getting caught up in the details. Like, oh, this tiny little detail that I found. Look, I picked it out. Here's the gem, the one gem that controls everything else. It's like, no, it's just a fragment of the greater reality, you know? And I don't know. It just seems like we're on the edge of just kind of realizing that. And yet we get caught up in these so much bickering where we're,
It strikes me as well that there's a movement within the so-called alternative media to try and really hype people up for a hot war and things like that with the US government. And I'm just like, bro, yeah, it's a good idea, you know. Go to war against an enemy that has technology so advanced you can't even imagine it, all right? With an army that has unlimited mind control slaves to throw at you, who are financed by money they can literally make up out of thin air. Genius. You know, just take up a gun and fight those people, you know? How brilliant is that? You don't know what you're dealing with, son. Okay?
all you need is your right to bear an assault rifle and maybe, you know, a 9mm pistol, and you're good to go. That's all you need, right? They'll do the job.
You don't need to be off the Big Pharma heart medication that, as soon as you stop taking it, will give you a heart attack, right? Okay? I was just thinking about all these obese, like, maybe like 90 IQ patriots who think the word the Constitution is the most intellectual thing that they've ever actually uttered in their life. The Constitution says, have you ever read it? Well, no, but you just shut! Just shut!
Love that Constitution. I mean, yeah, but constitute so much, that Constitution, right?
I mean, the closest thing most Americans have to a Constitution is reconstituted McDonald's, all right?
Oh, man.
That's the unfortunate business of it.
It's quite a situation here in the U.S., I'll tell you. And I talk to people all over the world like you, Vinny, and sometimes it feels like you kind of have to live here to realize just how crazy things are. Like, to realize just how – if you're talking about the U.S. military and the average people, I mean, we're basically mind-controlled propagandized to just bow down. Like, oh, we love the military. We love everybody who's enlisted. Support the troops. It's just an empty platitude. It doesn't mean anything. They don't even ever – qualify what that means to support the troops. I mean,
support,
we treat
the
them like garbage anyway.
By putting them on the streets, giving them dangerous medications, cutting their Medicare and their Medicaid and their vets benefits. And when they get PTSD and complex post-traumatic stress disorder from killing people who they thought they were there to help, let's just give them a gun and let them shoot up the place and then use that as a justification in the media why nobody's allowed to have guns anymore.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, man. It's crazy here. It's crazy. It's just I don't know. I don't know where to begin, but we need help here. We need help in the U.S. I mean, the whole world needs help. That's why we're doing this thing. That's why we're doing this truth thing. All right. We want a better world, don't we, Vinny? It's possible. I mean, how could going downhill doesn't sound like a good idea, but things could get better.
It's a lot more fun. In my opinion, I mean, look at this. If you have a look at all the societies and empires that have collapsed over the entirety of history. Now, I'm starting to wonder. And you've been studying the occult a little bit, so you might have wondered this too. Have the rulers of the world always been here and are capable of changing their identities or through their bloodlines allow the exact same agenda to continue? And because they figured out long ago that people will kill them if they find out that they're being ruled by them, they simply collapse their empires one after the other and build new ones, change their identity, and the same agenda continues and has been continuing for 100,000 years. Now, that was the thought that kind of set me bolt upright in the middle of the night, just going, oh, my God. That scares the living shit out of me. Probably true.
Oh, man. Yeah.
You know, like, imagine somebody who's been practicing their technique of bullshitting people and building and collapsing empires for 100,000 years, and you're supposed to come up with a tactic inside of 100 years through the generations of different truthers and Jim Mars, God rest his soul, and all of these people that have actually laid the groundwork for those of us who are now the new alternative media. In that smaller time frame, they're this close to having ultimate power that could never be challenged ever again. All right. And I think they've been building to this for a very, 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 very long time. And their plans have been hatched rather well. But as I say, the finest plans can be screwed up very easily. The best laid plans of mice and men. And most revolutions that I've seen happen throughout history, although I'm now starting to believe that they might have been concocted, happen with very small percentages of the population actually involved. And I'm of the belief that approximately 90% of the human population will never do anything to help someone else who's fighting for freedom or help themselves fight for freedom. However, if the 10% that do manage to be successful, those 90% of humanity benefit vicariously, automatically, even though they didn't do anything to help, right?
Yeah.
Now, that means that they didn't earn it. They didn't earn through blood. They didn't earn through suffering. They didn't earn through sacrifice the freedoms that they currently have. And what happens to a human being when they have something that they have not earned? They don't value it, and they do not protect it. And that's the situation I think that we're in. People have not fought for their freedoms for a very long time, maybe 1.5 generations or so far. And now they're realizing that it's under threat and they don't seem to care.
Yeah. When it comes to power, I think there's an occult concept going on there, is that these occult groups, which I do believe are there and have very real influence over pretty much everything, I think they model themselves and the way they work on God. And so it's a religious thing for them because, you know, what's God? Well, it's the most powerful, almighty thing there is. Okay, well, where is it? Well, I don't see it. I can't. It's invisible, right? God's invisible. You don't see it. And yet its hand works in everything. That's what they're doing, you see, because they're gods, right? You don't see them. But that's their powers, because if you did see him, then you could be like, hey, you, I don't like the idea of you having so much power. Could you step down? They don't want that. It's like, no, it works. Our situation actually works when we're here in the shadows. Nobody knows about us. You know, maybe if they get some inkling, you know, let them fight it out amongst each other. But we're just going to stay back here in our bunker, our cave, so to speak. And, you know, continue doing our thing. And we're not going to – the most powerful people, I think, in the world, you never know who they are. They just put out these front people and these different tiers of government that are the outer periphery of secret societies. As he said, a lot of people in government are Freemasons because they're the candidates that have been brought in to do the dirty work, basically, to do on the ground work and also be the PR front people for real powers. Like, hey, we need some front people. We need some PR guys. Get a president of the United States in here. Make sure he's vetted, you know, make sure he's one of our guys.
Yeah, make sure he's financed by the Meyer Lansky Jewish Mafia. Make sure his business acumen's really uptight so much that he bankrupted a casino, you know.
Hey, he's a businessman. He knows business, so he's gonna run this country real good. You know, we need a business guy in there.
Yeah.
All right.
Who better to lead the most indebted country in the world than a man who bankrupted a casino? You know, just you know, I can see the solutions just working out freaking swimmingly.
He knows how to use the system in his favor, you see, to get all those he's like that question mark guy on the infomercial that says, oh, I can give you all these government programs to give you money. You know, he's basically, you know, the new version of him. But he's also, you know, so he appeals to right-wingers somehow because he uses all these government loopholes to get himself out of financial crisis. That sounds like a real conservative right-wing way of thinking there.
It sounds more like a socialist weasel to me.
Well, you know, what's the difference?
Well, I think the New World Order created both these paradigms of socialism and fascism, and fascism was modeled on national what? Socialism? Oh, yeah. So it's socialism light or socialism heavy. And in the middle here, there's still socialism. Okay? This is your spectrum of choice. Now... There's two types of socialism I've found, though. One is anarcho-socialism, where everybody actually agrees and says, yep, voluntary taxation and so on and so forth. And those societies traditionally have actually worked really, really well until they get invaded by a non-anarcho-socialist country that has huge military spending who wants to take them over because they're making them look bad, and their people are really, really sick of looking across at another country that looks like it has a similar system, but for some reason, those anarcho-socialists are actually free and have a say about what goes on with their lives, but us, we don't. Let's invade them. They can't have a say either.
I know it. I know it. The war machine is going strong. Yeah, that's a big one. The military industrial complex. I mean, again, to get on like wrong ideas people have about the world. The big one to me is like scientific progress and all this. We think as Americans, like there's these little companies out there that come up with these new innovations and, you know, and it's entrepreneurs. And if you come up with a good idea, you get rewarded, you become a millionaire, you know, you get your mansion, and that's where all innovation is driven from. Where in reality, it's coming from this military industrial complex, you know, these companies that are wed to the government, they get government money, and then they sell their stuff back to the government. And it's just, you know, yeah, it's private industry, but it's government funded, you see?
Which is fascism. All right. When Mussolini started up his little fascist dictatorship in Italy during World War II and allied himself with Hitler, he said that fascism should be more correctly termed corporatism, because it is when the corporations and the state merge, that's what fascism is. Which is, again, another form of socialism. It's corporate socialism as opposed to people socialism. And I'm starting to wonder now, like, there is no actual resistance. Like, I can't actually see any actual resistance that is actually promoting a solution that will work, all right? Because even if you did want to go anarcho or anything like that, you've run into the same problem that every anarcho society in history has ever run into. You're not as determined to kill and defend your anarcho-socialism as the fascist socialists are willing to kill you to defend theirs, all right? Ergo, you get unfairly invaded and you freaking lose every single time. And then the anarcho, and then the fascists will brainwash the next couple of generations of children so that nobody ever knew that they were free in the first freaking place.
Yeah. Yeah, 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 exactly. Yeah. I don't even know what to say to that, to be honest. Yeah. It's, what do we do? I'm not sure.
Well, I think the first thing to do is just simply to talk about it, because if you have a look at all the problems of the world, all right, you know, just imagine I'm holding an apple that represents every single problem in the world, okay? The only problem with that apple is nobody knows it's in my hands. Nobody can see it. Nobody knows that there's even a single problem in the world, let alone all of them, all right? And the solution, therefore, is to talk about each and every one of them all the time, mm-hmm. and try to give people a little bit of understanding. It's that open dialogue thing, and that's what makes society, I think, function. It's the decent people in society talking to each other, openly sharing their ideas, and those who listen, who actually truly raise the consciousness level and change the way the public thinks about things, much like the 100th monkey syndrome, where you had a whole bunch of monkeys on one island who suddenly figured out how to use tools in order to extract ants from anthills to eat them, and then monkeys on other islands who'd never had any contact with them whatsoever suddenly knew to use the exact same tooling techniques. Even zebras, for example. If you have a lion that is stalking a herd of zebras, one of them will see it and another one will see it. And by the time approximately 6% of the herd has seen or become aware that there's a lion there, instantly 100% of the herd becomes aware. Now, these are the things that I'm starting to think about in terms of how much of our animal side was really bred out of us by education, and how much of our instincts about being wary of predators is still actually there, and can we reawaken those predator senses, well, the anti-predator senses, the things that animals use to defend themselves, at a society, global-wide level? What if 6% of the entire population of the world became aware of creatures known as psychopaths and archons and actually had a working understanding of them? The world's problems would start to shrink by the day.
Yeah. Yeah, the transhuman thing ties into this too. That's one of my big criticisms is, first of all, people don't understand that transhuman technologies are going to be developed by the military industrial complex, right? We're just thinking it's like Bill Nye the Science Guy bringing all this stuff, which it isn't. And then second of all, it's the perfect way to beat out all of these, as you call them, animal instincts, which is just like survival mechanisms. Things that aren't always exactly very comfortable, right? We don't like being anxious. We don't like being angry all the time. So, you know, we don't like being depressed. You know, depression is horrible, of course. I'm not disputing that. But perhaps it's a symptom of something else we're doing wrong. You know, maybe it's our bodies and our minds telling us that, you know, we have to pay attention to something. So you got right now we take so many drugs, or we're told to, and that's like the way out. But transhumanism takes things further. It's like, no, alter your body and take away all those horrible little feelings you don't like. You know, anything that causes you any sort of pain or grief, or just, you know, something you don't like, a way you don't like to feel, an emotion you don't like. Transhumanists talk about that. They talk about like getting rid of emotions that are bad. And I hear this, I'm like, that's exactly the kind of thing that's going to get us in more trouble, because we're not going to have our senses in order to even know what's going on anymore. We're just going to beat our own senses out and hook ourselves up to a virtual reality where we can play video games within our own head all day long. What's the point of that?
Now, I saw a trailer for the movie coming out called Ready Player One. And it's a kid in a trailer park, a vertical trailer park, right? And the only place where anybody can be or do anything is in this virtual world. Now, you'll be surprised, ladies and gentlemen, when you're distracted from the bad things in your life, just how bad you can allow them to get, all right? And as Ayn Rand said, you can ignore reality, but you cannot ignore the consequences of ignoring reality.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, that's the transhuman situation. That's the big issue. I mean, I don't see how that just doesn't drive. That's not the driving question for anybody. Like, there's a lot of people promoting the idea. I just don't know how they're.
I watched a YouTube video just recently, actually, and he was talking about this interesting phenomenon about the end of the world, right? And in movies and TV and things like that, and it turns out that a huge proportion and percentage wise of the most popular movies and TV shows today are all apocalyptic themed, right? Mm-hmm. And he was curious about this. Why is that? Why is it when we're coming to the apocalypse, which means the revelation of truth, ladies and gentlemen, not the end, do people become so enamored with the concept of the end of the world? And he said that it was because people are so depressed about their reality and their own inabilities that to see society destroyed gives them comfort. To see a hero taking on evil, they can personify and identify with that. Okay? Now, all this does is allow them to enjoy their end and not participate in their salvation. And I think that this article just recently came out. It says that the CIA was behind the creation of a huge proportion of the most popular movies and TV shows ever made, right? And the director of the CIA said that once the CIA's disinformation campaign is complete, everything the American people know will be the opposite of the truth.
Yeah, well, certainly the CIA has an entertainment liaison office, and as does every branch of the military. They do work on films, television. My friend Tom Secker just wrote a book about this, really good book called National Security Cinema. People should check that out if they don't know about that. Really good stuff. And the book basically just lays out, you know, like, here's the entertainment liaison offices. Here's what they do. there's no question about what they do. You know, we have a record of it. There's a lot of other stuff that we don't have the record of, which has been destroyed or it's been thrown away in this under lock and key in this library at Georgetown University, you know. So we know that it's being done. And we can see the sort of changes that are made to scripts by the military, by the CIA. We can tell that they have a very real propaganda campaign going on. And the scope of the knowledge on this has really grown recently to the point where, you know, the average person cannot refute this. You can't refute like the amount of work that's been done in Hollywood, in all media, really, by, through all these government agencies. The big question is, you know, why? Why are they doing this? And what do they have to gain from it? Exactly what are they doing? That's where you have to, you know, speculate a little bit. But definitely, I mean, if you think – if you trust them, then I wonder about you. You know what I mean? Like, because you shouldn't. You certainly shouldn't.
Yeah. Trusting known liars is not the brightest idea, ladies and gentlemen, that you've ever had. But, you know, we all do it from time to time, and that's only because we don't know that they're liars. And there's an old there's an old saying, you can trust a thief, but you cannot trust a liar. Aaron Franz has been my very special guest. Thank you very much for joining me. And ladies and gentlemen, make sure to go to thevinnyeastwoodshow.com to make a small donation, either through the Patreon, the Kiwi Bank, or the PayPal there. Anything that you do to help this show, I am absolutely grateful for. You're sharing the shows, you're liking them, you're putting them out there, despite all the social media censorship. We'll see you again sometime, folks.
No rules, no taboo topics, no taboo topics, no fear of doom, no fear of doom. We are American Freedom Radio, American Freedom Radio.
Since the beginning, civilizations have risen and fallen. Rome, ancient Persia, Mongolia, Britain, and now, America. Befallen by natural disasters, broken families, moral decay, lack of preparedness and conflict. Don't let this happen to you. Are you prepared? Would you like to help others prepare? AmericanSurvivalWholesale.com is looking for distributors. Email bugoutamerica@usa.com. Go to AmericanSurvivalWholesale.com, a veteran-owned and operated company. But do it today.
And I hope people support American Freedom Radio. And I hope people vote with their dollars and really understand the value of having American Freedom Radio. Because that's my family. If you love me at all, Jack Blood, support American Freedom Radio. Like, my family has literally disowned me in American Freedom Radio. Danny and Don and those guys, those are my actual family. So please, please support these guys because they have all the technology, they have all these great things that they're going to do, but obviously they can't do it all by themselves. So not only would I like to see you support them, I'd like to see you retweet them and repost them and really get involved and get on the bandwagon, so to speak, on doing that do-it-yourself promotion, because they're a do-it-yourself radio network, and we just need that so much.
Wadia will remain a dictatorship. Or be quiet. Why are you guys so anti-dictators? Imagine if America was a dictatorship. You could let 1% of the people have all the nation's wealth. You could help your rich friends get richer by cutting their taxes and bailing them out when they gamble and lose. You could ignore the needs of the poor for healthcare and education. Your media would appear free, but would secretly be controlled by one person and his family. You could wiretap phones. You could torture foreign prisoners. You could have rigged elections. You could lie about why you go to war. You could fill your prisons with one particular racial group, and no one would complain. You could use the media to scare the people into supporting policies that are against their interests.
You're listening to AmericanFreedomRadio.com, the network who perseveres in delivering intelligent debate, constructive dialogue with true independence. The freedom to broadcast the truth is not free at all. So what is American Freedom Radio worth to you? The empowering information with fun, honest and pure integrity behind it provides an example to follow. Friendships to flourish with the moral altruism that pulls no punches. The hosts sacrifice and show remarkable discipline in their duty to deliver quality radio in service to the community with strength, wisdom and loyalty. The founders of AFR wish to thank you personally for sharing your views and insights to make the best radio and alternative media. Now it's time for you to give something back and play a vital role in the future of America. Be as generous with us as we've been with you. Click on the donate banner at AmericanFreedomRadio.com or volunteer by emailing AmericanFreedomRadio@ymail.com. Vaccines, psychotropic drugs and artillery batteries not included.
Launch sequence initiated.
We're now in the approach phase. Everything looking good.
Control
good.
Prepare your mind to experience American Freedom Radio.